Hi, everyone. This is Coach Fab for Casinos USA Podcast, and welcome to our 75th podcast. What a question we have for you. Do you want to buy a Las Vegas casino? Well, episode number 75, November 14, 2019. Let's sit down and think about it. And we welcome our studio digital audience back, as always. Well, I have to ask the security to escort that young man out. I don't think he's 21, and he's obviously at the wrong podcast. This is not an educational podcast. This is a recreational gambling podcast. Sorry about that, everybody. Okay. You know, something else we'll be talking about today, and please, these are not political terms. These are gambling terms. We got an interesting call from somebody who wanted to know, somebody from the West Coast, on whether we are more a progressive better or a regressive better. So when we get to Crabs Talk later in the podcast, we'll be explaining our position on progressive and regressive, and this is outside of the world of politics. Okay, let's start with our essential question. Do you want to buy a Las Vegas casino? Penn National has done a nice job, the gaming company, have done a nice job with the Tropicana. But we learned that they're entertaining offers, you know, not making as public as they might be, but they're entertaining offers because they believe their casinos outside of Vegas, you know, many of them are in states where sports books are legal, and they believe they can make just as much money or more money by expanding those sports books in other states. And we have a couple close to us. You know, we have the one in the Meadows, which I talk about a little bit, south of the Pittsburgh airport. Penn National is also in Charlestown, West Virginia. So they're beautiful casinos, and they're always associated with sort of a racetrack, I should say. But, you know, in their way of thinking, with 41 states having legal casino gambling and 16 states now involved with sports betting, they're thinking they could put the money in these sports books and do even better, you know, and maybe finance the sports book expansion by selling the Tropicana. But there are some purchases being made on the Strip in Las Vegas. Let's talk about what kind of money your family, maybe your neighborhood, maybe your whole freaking town would have to put together to buy a Las Vegas casino. MGM Resorts International has made this official that it will sell Circus Circus to casino operator Phil Ruffin. And, of course, he's the owner of Treasure Island, or as the hip call it, TI. And that purchase of Circus Circus and the surrounding ground, $825 million. $825 million. The sale also includes lots of fun, the 5-acre Adventure Dome Indoor Amusement Park. Did you ever try that? The 10-acre RV park. That's big. Will it stay an RV park? Who knows? But there's also something even bigger. The adjacent 37-acre Las Vegas Festival grounds. And Ruffin has indicated the first target in this purchase for renovation will not be Circus Circus itself, but Slots of Fun. And that 37-acre Las Vegas Festival grounds, could that become a Major League Baseball stadium? Does Phil Ruffin know something that most people don't? Another concert venue? Who knows? But hey, it's a great hunk of land in the northern end of the Strip, which, of course, is being revitalized. Well, if you think $825 million is a little high, let me tell you what the Bellagio recently sold for. The Bellagio recently sold for $4.2 billion. Billion with a B. $4.2 billion. And it was purchased by the Blackstone Group. The Blackstone Group also owns the Cosmopolitan, the one in Las Vegas. And even though it's the Bellagio, This sale is of lesser impact than the Circus sale in that MGM Resorts International is retaining 5% ownership and will continue to operate the hotel and casino for Blackstone. So this is sort of like, you know, I'm going to sell you my home and then I'll lease it back, and I'm going to keep 5% of my the interest there, you know, my interest in my home. And if you go back to the northern end of the Strip, you know, Golden Entertainment is putting $90 million into the renovation of the Strat. And, of course, with the Eldorado Corporation buying Caesars, who's to say where that's going to go? And they're cleaning up the neighborhood in the northern end of the Strip. So, you know, how that kind of changes, you know, but maybe at one time with the Allegiant Stadium, you could see the south end of the Strip booming. Then, of course, you know, the mid-strip area with the Aria, the Cosmopolitan, that area, it's the trendy place. But maybe it will move back again to the north because of the purchases and renovations that are occurring there. And it's that old line, I love this line, that Las Vegas keeps reinventing itself. It just seems to keep reinventing itself. And we know the gaming industry is changing. You know, we discussed the advent of the takeover of the population by the millennials and, of course, the Gen Xers. But the boomers still count. But nonetheless, changes will come. And who's to say if it's going to be the southern end of the Strip with the stadium where the Raiders will be playing and other things will be occurring? The middle of the Strip, will it lose its grip a little bit? Or will the northern end of this Strip win an encore in that area? The changes that Phil Ruffin will bring, Resorts World International, and their progress with their structures? Who knows where it could all lead? But it just shows you, you just can't wear Las Vegas out, despite the fact that 41 other states have gambling, legalized casino gambling. Who would have ever guessed that the heyday of Las Vegas may still be ahead? And the takes, of course, in Nevada the last 2 months were over $1 billion. No, it's not shrinking. No. So do you want to buy a Las Vegas casino? Well, I'm taking my information generally from Anthony Curtis's Las Vegas Advisor, the November 2019 edition. Always congratulate Anthony Curtis. He's a hometown guy, and he gets the facts and figures straight. So you want to consider a subscription to his Las Vegas Advisor newsletter. But you can also read about all the changes that are taking place in the Review Journal, the daily newspaper, and I have it in digital form, of Las Vegas, Nevada. Yeah, change will come, but you know what? You and me might be left out because can we generate $850 million or get into the billion-dollar market? I don't think so. But it's nice to know we'll have some nice places to go and attend and enjoy in the future. Okay, we'll be coming back for our section today of Crab Stock. Hang on.
3, 2.
Yes, this is John. I'm calling from the Central Coast of California. I've been looking at some dice strategies lately and just want to know what your opinion is on a progressive strategy versus a regressive strategy. I know, of course, like with any other strategy, it just depends on how the dice go that day. But just in general, are you more a progressive strategy fan or a regressive strategy fan? Thanks. Bye.
John, thanks for calling Casino USA Podcast. And you're asking a great question. And it's not a simple answer. Now, just in terms of a very broad brush statement, and I think you can put this across all the gambling inside a casino, you know, at machines, at tables. The theory is that You should bet more when you're ahead and bet less when you're behind. Now, if you are behind and you're trying to catch up and you bet more when you're behind, that's called chasing your losses. Now, I've seen people do that successfully, but day in, day out, casino visit to casino visit, generally when you chase your losses by betting more when you're behind, it's disaster. Again, every once in a while somebody saves their butt doing that, but it's dangerous. So the broad brush statement is bet more when you're ahead and bet less when you're behind. Now, my approach may differ from a lot of people, but I think in terms of comps a lot, especially when I'm playing at a place that I know I want to stay at as a hotel, you know, not just visit as a casino. And that is, when I cash in, I know they're paying attention because they're tracking me, right? I gave them my rewards card, my player's card. And generally, my first bets are high. So I want them to see me, you know, put 30 on the 6, 30 on the 8, you know what I mean? So I want them to see me take some nice odds behind the pass line. And so I'll do that when they're watching me. Now then, immediately afterwards, I'll regress my bets back to my normal playing level. So my first strategy is often regressive. I'm betting more early, then I'm going to take it back. The first time I'm at the table, and I feel like I'm being evaluated. So that's important. So let's talk about taking regressive and why regressive might make more sense than progressive. I know there's a thrill in parlaying. I know there's a thrill in pumping up your place bets, pumping up your hard ways bets. There's a thrill if you win. But here's what to consider, John. The average length of rolls by every shooter, when you think of the thousands and thousands and thousands of shooters, you know, going around the clock, 8. So if you think about it that way, and you know, and you want the math to be on your side, it would make sense to use a regressive strategy, meaning that your early bets are going to be better and bigger than your later bets. You know, there's the old one about placing every place bet number to 4, the 5, the 6, the 8, the 9, and 10 for $100. So I got $600, and I'm hoping to get one hit, and then I'm going to regress. I'm going back down again. I wouldn't do that, but I might put $30 in every number. Sure. And then first hit, I'm back into my normal range again. And if you want to talk about progressive strategies, there's a lot of different strategies. Like, how do you pump up those place bets on hits? You know, how do you pump up the hard way numbers on hits? Well, let me just talk about units. You know, if it's a $10 table, it's still you pump up the 4, the 5, the 9, and 10 in $5 units. If it's a 6 and 8, you pump those up in $6 units. So let's say you have $10 on the 5. All right, so you're going to, if you win, you get $7 for every 5, so you won $14. So you could say, press it 2 units. Now you got $20 on the 5. All right, you could say parlay it 2, figure it out, but if you just want to talk specifically about the exact amount, you know, you get a $14 win on the 6. And you say, press it 2 units, meaning 6 plus 6, press it $12. So that's my crap speak. That's how I speak at the table. I could say parlay, and then the dealer's going to figure it out herself. But I'd like to say how many units. Now, remember, you can't put all the money you won down because you have to have that unit cost. So, example, you know, you can't expect If you won $14, you can't press the 6 or 8 three units unless you add some of your own money. And I'm not saying you shouldn't do that. But generally speaking, most people don't add their own money. They just press up their numbers by units. I think the word parlay is more commonly used with hard numbers. Now, you hit a hard number, then you say parlay it, because you can put whatever you want on hard ways. You can put it all on there. So all the winnings, you know, so even though, like, you don't need a minimum. That's what I'm trying to say. So on the hard ways numbers, if you want to press those up and you want to press them up maximum, whenever you hit, you say parlay. That's it, you know. So remember, if you say parlay, you're not getting any money back. And that's how you can get to, you know, winning $1,000 in hard ways with three hits, four hits, by parlaying it up. That's what you do. You just put it all back. Okay, so to summarize my comments, generally speaking, in gambling and craps included, you should bet more when you are ahead and less when you are behind. If you bet more when you're behind to try to catch up, that's called chasing your losses. It can work, can pay off, but generally it leads to disaster. You thought you lost some money, but instead of losing some money, you went broke. You know what I mean? So you have to be careful with that. It's your call. You can bet the way you want, friends. The other thing is, I use a regressive strategy a lot because my early bets, my first wagers, when I know they're looking at me, trying to get a read on me, are higher than any other bets that I'll make, you know, generally speaking. And I'm doing it because I want to impress them. Yeah, sometimes I win, you know, and I get a nice hit. Sometimes I lose a lot of money because of it. But that's only when I want to stay at a casino that offers a hotel that I enjoy. Because otherwise, comps are not a big deal and I'm not thinking about them. Okay, so that's it. Remember the average length of roll, or eight rolls. So when you use a progressive strategy, you know, you're pressing your bets, one unit, two unit, three units, or adding some of your own money to that, or you're parlaying your hard ways, you're kicking all your winnings back onto the hard ways, then remember that number. Now, there will be times when somebody shoots the dice and they roll 40 times, 50 times. It's not going to happen very often, but when it does, and you're a parlay guy or parlay woman, and you're pressing on your place bets, wow, you can clean up. But oftentimes doing that, you don't want any money because you got so much money on the table that when you lose, you basically lose everything that you want. I remember I was on a gambling boat in Florida with Janie, and the slot machines, she was told, are so tight on those boats, she wanted to play craps with me, and I had a friend, Steve, with me, so we enjoyed Steve's company, and we were playing, and she said to me, God, I got over $100 on the table, and I said, well, then you should take it down, and she did, and the next two rolls, then somebody sevened out, and she got it, you know. She won big for a while, and then she decided, hey, I think this party's over, and she took it down. Now, you know, I've taken it down, and then the roll continued, and then I got to start building it back up again, and I lost a little bit of money by doing that. But overall, I'm talking about all the thousands of crap games I played, I saved my butt by regressing and sometimes taking the whole thing down or turning my numbers off. And then, of course, you know, you got to consider the superstitions, and I enjoy the crap superstitions. You know, somebody's spouse comes to a table, interrupts the shooter, and turn me off. Change of a stick man. Turn me off for a roll. You know, I'll lift up my odds bet too. Not only that, I'm so off. I believe so often they're going to roll a seven on the stick change that I'll hop the reds. You know, $15. That's my bet. And I know you're thinking, hey, you're too superstitious, but oh, I can't tell you how many times that's paid off. So there's a lot to consider, but that's a great question. Are you more of a progressive bettor? You know, day in and day out, casino visit, get the casino visit, or are you more regressive better? My favorite progressive bet, and I've done this, I think, 5 times. You got a dollar on the 12, you win 30, and you say, parlay. You leave it all there, and 12s come up back to back. And that second time, woohoo, baby. You won $900. You won a dollar win, left the $30 there, and it came up again. That's my favorite progressive bet. You know what? Give it a try. I mean, all you got to invest is a dollar. Okay, we're going to talk about sports betting to close out today, because this was one of the big, big weeks of the college football season. And I've been doing really well with sports betting. We published them all on our Twitter account, and we also put them on Facebook. You know, if you read our notes, we'd ask you to consider joining both. But, you know, so we're honest about it. We don't always win. We were on a 5-game win streak before this Saturday, and I really proved to myself I'm a recreational gambler. But let me catch my breath here, and we'll come right back after a very short break. Well, my biggest bet of the day was taking LSU with the spread. You know, that meant that Alabama had to win by 7. And, well, you know, we won that one. All LSU had to do was win, and that was my biggest bet. And it kind of made up for some of the other bets that I lost. But I also learned that day that I think the top two quarterbacks on the college football scene this year were in that game. Tua and Joe, huh? Those were wonderful quarterbacks. And I think the LSU quarterback has probably the best shot at the Heisman at this point. I think he was, 32 for 39? And then his big first down run near the end of the game on a quarterback read. Beautiful play. But two great football teams, and I really enjoyed that game and won money. I was shocked by Minnesota. I thought Penn State would win by 2 touchdowns, and I proved to myself I was a recreational gambler because I enjoyed the game so much. I was actually cheering for Minnesota. My son's a Pitt graduate. That goes back to the Pitt-Penn State thing, and I got my master's degree at Pitt. But, you know, you think I'd root for my home state, but I just couldn't do it. I have too many times my Penn State friends have hit me with Notre Dame slurs. And Coach Franklin is 1-for-7 on the road against ranked teams, but I didn't think that his Penn State team was going to lose. But boy, those Minnesota fans, they were fun to watch. And Minnesota played nearly a perfect game. Congratulations to them. They're 9-0. And who knows where that's going to go. I was also shocked by Oklahoma. They just had to hang on. Oh, my goodness. They don't have a defense as simple as that. You know, they can score. Of course, they have a great quarterback, the Alabama transfer, but that was something. I think a big upset that most people missed, and it's my granddaughter's school, the University of Nevada, Reno. I couldn't believe I actually bet on San Diego State. But I'm a recreational gambler. I was really happy Nevada won. I watched that game late because I'm still more or less homebound because of my hip replacement. I watched it without sound as not to wake up my wife. It didn't come on until 10:30 here in the East. And it was at San Diego State. And I thought, there's no way Nevada. They went into the game 5-4, but some of their losses were really ugly. But can you believe it? They won on a trick play. A reverse pass got them down to the 1 or 2 yard line, and then they kicked it in. They pushed it in and won the game. So congratulations to the Wolfpack, University of Nevada, they're now bowl eligible at 6-4. And boy, that was one of the biggest upsets of the year, which again, I lost on the Penn State bet. I lost on the Nevada bet. And the one that really freaked me out was the comeback that Illinois made against Michigan State. I lost on that bet. So there was a lot of sharks there, you know, with that cost me three wagers. But I put the biggest money on the LSU spread bet. And so that covered me for the day, gave me a little bit of a breathing space. But boy, I tell you, these sports apps are a lot of fun. I hope your state has a sports app. I hope you have sports betting. And part of the thrill of that is, you know, it's not about a computer chip. You know, it's about real life people playing a sporting game. And for me, generally, it's going to be football, but I also bet on hockey and baseball.
The Los Angeles Rams came to town before this podcast airs, and I thought with the injuries to Connor, particularly one of our top running backs with the Steelers, and of course, Big Ben's been out since early in the season, I thought, boy, the Rams, they're going to get it, and they actually got a free touchdown, and first snap of the game to the Steelers went over the quarterback's head, and one of the Rams picked it up and ran it in, so it's 7-0 before the game really starts. I mean, the game's like 5 seconds old. But I'll be doggone, the Steeler defense just did the job. I mean, shut down the Rams. That was the only touchdown they scored. So the Steelers kind of stole that one from Los Angeles, and the Steelers, believe it or not, now have a winning record. That was their fourth straight win, and they're 5-4. So hats off to Coach Tomlin, you know. Coach Mike T did it. Very impressive win.
And remember, we always say that Las Vegas reinvents itself. Wow. Never gets old. And I think that's true. Well, here at Casinos USA, every day is Saturday, and we pursue life, liberty, and happiness. Hey, enjoy living with us. Thank you. See you in a couple weeks. So long.